Read to you a quote. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Every month we have designated a theme for the month, and for August, the theme has been that of the faithful steward. And we've been looking at different aspects of a steward and what all that means. And of course, you know, we do have CDs, and if you hear a message and you want to listen to it over and over again, you can request a CD, and we'll get a CD to you. Also, online, all of our messages are online for free. You can listen to every message, and that's a blessing to you. And I want to read this quote by R.A. Torrey. He said, "I would rather win souls than be the greatest king or emperor on the earth. I would rather win souls than be the greatest general that ever commanded an army. I would rather win souls than be the greatest poet or novelist or literary man who has ever walked the earth. My one ambition in life is to win as many as possible." Amen. How many want that passion? You know, the Bible says he who wins souls is wise. You got any wise people here today? Well, if you're winning souls, then you are wise. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards," say stewards, "of the mysteries of God. Moreover," he's saying above everything else, "it is optional." No, he didn't say optional, did he? "It is required." Say required. "Required. In stewards that a man be found faithful." Say, "I'm faithful." Well, how do we know you're faithful? Well, what do you do with the little that you have? The little gift, the little talent, the little ability, the little resources that you have. What do you do with the little? The Bible says if you're faithful in the little, then you can become ruler over much. But if you're not faithful in the little, you're not going to rule anything. Amen? So today, I want to talk about being a steward of your choices or managing your choices. Did you know that God gave us the greatest ability on this earth, and he gave us the ability to choose? He entrusts humans, creation, to choose between what is right and what is wrong. Did you know that that's the greatest responsibility and privilege that we have, is the ability to choose? Because ultimately, who's responsible for what happens in your life? The devil. The devil made me do it. He can't make you do anything. You know, they used to have that skit, "The devil made me do it." No, he can't make you do anything. Well, God didn't do it for me. No, God did it for you. He has given us the ability to choose, which is the greatest responsibility and the greatest privilege that we could ever have. If you have your Bible, go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 30. This is going to take me at least 2 weeks, maybe more. I already know that, so I'm preparing you. So I don't have to be in a hurry, amen? I've learned that, now I'm a person that gives a lot of scripture. You can look at the bulletin. And I have a lot of scripture. I'm really into scripture. You know, you could say, my pastor is into scripture. That's a good thing, amen? But I'm also into the spirit, too. I'm not just all word. We got to have both. We got to have the word and the spirit. And that gives you a balance. But I found that if you try to just to consume a great amount of scripture and never get anything out of it, then I'm not doing my job. So I've got to take my time. We've got to dig a little deeper, amen? We got some hungry people here today that want to go a little bit deeper, amen? You want to go a little bit further in your faith? I'll tell you what. This past Wednesday, I was talking about how to receive from God, and the Lord brought this point out. He said, people who minimize their hearing are going to minimize their believing. What does that mean? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by any area that you're minimizing your hearing, you're going to minimize your believing. And then when something comes up that you're going to have to believe for, if all you have is minimum hearing, you're only going to have minimum miracles. I don't want a minimum miracle. I want a maximum miracle. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. Notice what it says here. I call heaven and earth to record or to witness this day against you that I have set before you, say me, life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, say therefore. You know what that word means? Whenever you see that word, you better see what it's there for. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your seed may live. Isn't that awesome? How God has set before each one of us. You, as an individual, you are responsible to make a choice. And notice, it's only A or B. There's no C, there's no D, it's only life or death, blessing or the curse. There's no gray area. Jesus said, you're either for me or you're against me, right? So we have two choices, and he gives you the answer. You talk about an open book test. He says, here's the question. I would that you choose life. Man, I love those tests where you have the answers already before you. So then God, heaven and earth, is going to hold you accountable for the choices that you make. He calls heaven and earth to witness. See, as a steward is someone who takes care of the master's stuff or the master's possessions. And the master entrusts the servant with the care of these goods, and the master expects increase. He expects progress. He expects things to be more than what he gave it to you with. The master never expects decrease. Because he said himself, unless the seed of a corn fall and die, it will not produce nothing. But if it produces, it will produce, if it dies, it'll produce a great harvest. Say, I'm responsible for the choices that I make. See, with every choice that you make, there is a consequence. For every action, there's a reaction. You know those balls on those strings that go click, 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 click. You know, if you hit one, they go click, 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 click. Well, we are responsible for the choices that we make. The New Living Translation says this: today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessing and curse. I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life, and that you and your descendants might live. Would God honor someone's choice in choosing death? Does God allow someone to choose death? Yeah. You know what? Everybody in hell cannot say that the Lord sent them there. They chose to reject Jesus Christ and his message, which is the gospel. That's the only reason that people are going to end up in hell, because they reject Jesus Christ. Well, I didn't know about him. Well, the Bible says even nature declares the glory of God. You can find God in nature if you're really looking. So the choices that we make in life, heaven and earth are witnessing. Your choices are being recorded in a book. And can you see God's heart? He said, I would that you choose life, but he does not interfere with your choice. He'll help you make the right choice. He'll give you wisdom. He'll give you strength. He gives you his word. He gives you his law. He gives you everything, all the information you need to make the right choice. But sometimes we don't always make the right choice. But God will never interfere How do I know that? Well, when Adam and Eve, the first man and woman who were walking in the garden, and they were tempted to eat something that God said, do not eat it. If you eat it, you shall die. What happened? They chose to disobey the instruction. How come God didn't come out of heaven and knock that fruit out of their hand? Because he gave them their choice. He gave them the instruction. Before they ever had the opportunity to make a choice, they had God's word even before that choice was presented to them. But that yet they chose. God did not interfere with their choice. That is a powerful responsibility. I'm giving you a reality check today. Amen? We need to check up on our choices. Well, how come I'm not as blessed as this person? Well, did you make their choices that they made? Did you pay the cost that they paid? Did you pay the price that they paid? See, you should never compare yourself with another person. That ought to free some of you up right now. You are not to compare yourself with people. You are only to compare yourself with the Word. I'm not to compare myself with a Creflo Dollar or a Kenneth Copeland or a Kenneth Hagin. I am Doug Pishka. Amen? I am who I am. I am who God created me to be. And what you see is what you get. Although some people say that I change a little bit when I preach, because that's the anointing of God. I don't know. But I know this. I know that in order to get here today, I had to make choices along the way. There were times that I had to choose to get into the Word versus to do another thing or another activity. There were times that I had to choose to leave my family to go and do what God told me to do. And thank God that we have this ability to choose. What does it mean to choose? It means to pick out or to select or to take or to choose from a number of alternatives. How many know we got a lot of alternatives? Amen? If any of you have a TV, there are a lot of alternatives. What am I going to watch out of 359 channels? Amen? Or you go to a buffet like Shady Maple. I don't know if you've ever been to Shady Maple. But boy, that's a 100-foot-long buffet. You talk about choice. I believe in buffeting my body. You know, Paul said, I buffeted my body. I believe in buffeting my body. That's why, you know, I have chosen to go to a buffet sometimes and not exercise. That's why I'm overweight. I have made a choice to enjoy the buffet versus pumping. I've got a membership to a gym and I have yet to go. The Lord says, you better get with the program. But you gotta choose between the alternatives. If I want to become less of a real well-rounded preacher, I'm going to have to do some exercise. Amen? But I got to make a choice. I got to choose sometimes between watching TV and getting in the Word or praying. I got to choose who I hang out with, who I associate with. Because you are who you associate with. You are what you eat. Amen? Sometimes I got to choose to put the things of God first above my own personal needs. You know, as a believer, I've got to choose to tithe because it's what the Word says to do. Because the tithe is the Lord's and it's holy. If you want to know more about the tithe, you can listen to last week's message. I talked a little bit more about that. But we've got choices. We have options. Amen? Go with me to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua, right after the book of Deuteronomy. Joshua chapter 24. And look at verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. You know, you're going to have to choose between serving idols or serving the Lord. You're going to have to choose to be faithful in the things of the kingdom. You know, I'm amazed at how many people don't think that they need church. Oh, I can have church on TV. No, you can't. Let me tell you something. Jesus is the head of the church. And if he is the head of this corporation, don't you think that it's important to him? I mean, he bought and purchased the church with his own blood. Don't you think that he values it? Absolutely. Let me tell you something. We need a church. You know, if I'm not in church, it feels like I'm taking a shower with my socks on. You know, that feels kind of, it's like something's not right. Something feels weird. Like if we're on vacation and we're not in church, it feels weird. I've been in church ever since I got born again. Well, even before I got born again, my parents would take me to church and I would sleep in church. Amen. Our church just lulled me to sleep. The church that I went to was dead, but now I'm alive. Amen. Being alive is better. So Joshua said, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. Put away the gods. You got to choose to put away the gods. What's a god? Anything that is more important to you than the Lord, it's a god. I'm going to say that again. Anything that is more important to you than the Lord is a god. Boy, that went over really well. You're like, oh my gosh, what did I get myself into today? Look at verse 15. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Everybody has to make up their own choice. I can't choose for you. You can't choose for me. You got to make up your own mind and your own choice. He said, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Say, I will serve the Lord. Joshua made a decision about him. He said, I don't care what everybody else is going to do. I don't care what's popular. As for me, first of all, he made a personal choice that he was going to serve the Lord. Secondly, he said, anybody that's in my house or part of my family, you're going to be serving the Lord. You come to my house, we go to church. You come to my house, we pray. You come to my house, we read the word. You come to my house, you don't gossip. You don't criticize. Why? Because he made a decision that as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. I'll tell you what, when you integrate your family in serving the Lord, it will bless you. No one has ever suffered from serving the Lord as far as in the end, they win. Did you know that Hannah, who could not have children, she prayed to the Lord, and she was in such earnest supplication. She prayed that God would give her a child, and he did. He answered her prayer. But then you know what she did? She turned right around and dedicated that child to the Lord. As soon as he was weaned, she took him to the temple. He grew up in the temple. He grew up with under the priesthood. He learned. But do you think that that was easy? But see, she made a choice to honor the Lord. She chose to serve God above everything else. Now, she loved that son. She believed for that son. It was a gift from God. Why would God ask you for the gift that he gave you? Because he's got a greater purpose. He needed a prophet whose words would not fall to the ground. He needed one who would set up a school of the prophets. He needed one that would speak to kings and the government. He needed a man who was dedicated to the house of the Lord, to the work of God, to the kingdom of God. And Hannah chose to give her son over to the work of the Lord, and he was the better for it. David would choose to worship the Lord on his harp or whatever while he was watching over the sheep. He'd be playing a song. Oh, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. You know, today he might have had electric guitar. The Lord is my shepherd now. Look, I'm a child of the 80s. I grew up in the 80s, you know. I listened to heavenly metal. David made a choice. He chose to fight Goliath when no one else would. Thank God for that choice. Someone who would step up. He never thought that he was incapable. His trust was where? His trust was in God. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Say, we are going to serve the Lord. You'll be the better for it. But you got to make a choice. I wish I could make people come to church. I wish I could, you know? Like a Christian, you ever hear of a Christian assassin? That's someone who gives you the plan of salvation before they pull the trigger. You know? You can't make anybody. Do you know God can't even make anybody do anything? If he could, he would make everybody get saved. And we'd go into the, we'd be in heaven now if he could make everybody, anybody do anything. But what he gives you is he gives you a choice. He entrusts with you the ability to choose. And whatever you choose, whatever path you choose, there's either blessing or curse on that path. If you've been experiencing a lot of curse, you made a wrong choice. But thank God there's grace. You can change your choice. You can change your direction. You can change the course of your life by choosing to serve the Lord, by choosing God, by choosing to obey His word. You can change the course of your life. You can change the course of your family. You can break the curse. Hallelujah. You can break that generational curse by choosing life. This was so strong in me. We are stewards of our choices. And the choices that we make are either going to increase the kingdom or they're going to decrease the kingdom. I got to read you another quote. This is from D.L. Moody. Out of 100 men, one will read the Bible. The other 99 will read the Christian. So you better watch the choices that you make. Out of 100 people, one will read the Bible, but one will read the Christian. Or 99 will read the Christian. Well, I have the right to choose, and my choices are all about me. Oh, really? Jonah chose to disobey God. And in choosing to disobey God, he got on a ship to Tarsus. Did you know that that ship had to lose their cargo? That ship had to lose their tackle? That ship had to throw everything overboard because Jonah chose the wrong path? You don't tell me that your choices only affect you. No. Your choices affect many people that we don't even know. The kings who would choose to follow God affected a nation. The kings who chose to disobey God affected a nation. Our choices affect more than just ourselves. Say, I'm going to choose life. Amen? Did you know that? I don't know if Joshua had a family when he was serving Moses. And every time Moses needed to fight a battle, he would call Joshua, who was the general of his army or the captain of his army. And Joshua would lead the Israelites into battle. But when Moses would go to the tabernacle, it was the place of worship. It was the tent of meeting where he would meet with God and the glory cloud would come down. And Joshua served Moses. You know, he was his assistant. He did whatever he needed to do. So he would follow Moses to the tent. And as Moses would go into the tent and speak with God, Joshua would be hanging outside. But then when Moses would leave, Joshua chose to stay by the tent of tabernacle. Do you think that that choice had any influence of him leading the nation into their inheritance, into dividing the land, into leading them across the Jericho, across the Jordan River and through Jericho and into the promised land? Hallelujah. He made the choice that he was going to worship God no matter what. If there was a day he didn't feel like worship, he worshiped. If there was a day that he just wasn't up to par, he worshiped anyway, amen? Sometimes we got to give a sacrifice of praise. Sometimes you may not feel like praying, you might not feel like praising, but praise anyway. Pray anyway. You got to choose. Joshua said, I hope that everyone that I'm talking to will be of the same mind. He didn't say, I am Joshua and I command you to choose. He said, as for me and my house, I'm going to choose the Lord. But what you choose, that's up to you. But he set the example. Amen? Secondly, it was his house and his family, his children, his servants, everyone that was under his care were affected by the choice that he made. Thirdly, he resolved to do this no matter what anybody else did. He said, His choice was not a reaction from someone else's choice. His choice was based on a personal commitment that he had made to the Lord. And he came to this conclusion. In Joshua 24, that's the end of the book. How many know that Joshua made a choice when he was a spy in his early 20s to obey the Lord? He said, he was one of the spies and he saw the giants, but he said, I choose to obey God in spite of what I see. And he said, we are well able to take the land. Let's go in. And Joshua maintained what he chose then. And he's talking towards the end of his life. He kept his choice. He never wavered from his choice. He never wavered from serving and obeying God. All those years in the wilderness, 40 years. How would you like to be one of three believers? Joshua, Caleb, and Moses. In the wilderness, seeing everybody whine and complain and murmur about obeying God and watching all the, going to all those funerals, seeing all those people die in the wilderness, that would have frustrated a lot of people. That would have caused a lot of people to say, you know what, I'm going to give up. Joshua, Caleb, and Moses were in a minority. Even though they believed, they were in the wilderness for 40 years because of they were outnumbered. Anybody would have given up their faith. But Joshua and Caleb didn't. Caleb said, I'm a strong now. When I'm 85 is what I was. I was for 45 years, he kept the faith. Hallelujah. And at 85 years old, he took the mountain. Because he made a choice to obey God. See, when you choose to obey God, it's going to require your all. You can't say, I'm going to half obey God. It doesn't work that way. Did Jesus have a half crucifixion? Or a half resurrection? An arm and a leg just came out, but the rest of them is still in the grave. No, it's either all or nothing. See, there's no gray area with God. He said in Galatians, or not Galatians, 2 Corinthians 9:6, he says, if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. Your reaping is in direct connection with the choice of how you choose to sow. You give a little, you'll get a little. You give a lot, you'll get a lot. I don't know about you, but I want a lot. Amen? We have dedicated our life to serve the Lord. And as a family, you know, we have Fiona's sister who lives with us. We don't cut her any slack. We don't allow her to gossip in our home. We don't, when it's time for church, we say, you got to be in church. You know, unless she's working or something. But that's the standard that we have chosen to do. And you've got to choose your own standard with your own family. Amen? But someone's got to make a choice. So the person who's in authority has got to make a choice and people will follow. You know, they used to tell us in Bible school, get on fire and people will come watch you burn. Amen? I don't know about you, but I'm on fire. I have chosen to obey the Lord. And for the last 7 years, we have, you know, when we came to Palmyra, I didn't know one Palmyrian. We didn't know anybody from Palmyra. We came to an unknown place. I walked into this building my first time and I was like, I was in shock of how much stuff that they had, this church. This church has been in existence since the early 80s. And someone in 1994 built this building. And they finished their part of the course, but now they've passed the baton on to us. And I'm determined to finish the race. I've got my eyes on the prize. And I'm not quitting. I'm not letting up. And I don't care. If I have to preach to an empty building of seats, I will, because that's how committed I have chosen to obey God. And it's not based on what anybody else does. It's based on my choice, my relationship with I know who in whom I believe. And he is able to keep that which I commit to him. And I'm not afraid to show a little passion about what my choice is. I'm here every Wednesday, every Sunday, and we're here sometimes every day. We've been here when people criticized us. We've been here when people leave for no reason whatsoever. Some leave right in the right way, some leave in the wrong way. Many leave in the wrong way. Did you know that if God put you here, if God called you to this place, I don't believe that you should come because I like the music, or I like the chairs, or I like the carpet. That should not be the reason why you choose church. You should be there because God called you there, because God has planted you there. Now, for everyone whom God has planted here, and they chose to leave, they're in disobedience. Because if God tells you, I want you here, it doesn't matter if you agree with me or not. It doesn't matter if you like me. You're here to please God and not me. I've learned a long time ago that I can't please people. But I certainly can please God. And that takes faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Amen? So let me give you some areas that I'm going to be talking about of things that you've got to choose. Okay, they're in your bulletin. You got to, number one, choose to deny your flesh. We all have flesh, and there are times when our flesh has to be denied. Sometimes you got to tell your flesh not to speak. Sometimes you got to tell your flesh to go where it doesn't want to go, to do what it doesn't want to do. So we got to have to choose to deny our flesh. Secondly, we're going to have to choose to walk by faith and not by sight. Thirdly, you're going to have to choose to follow God. Amen? And sometimes that involves leaving something else to follow Him. Do you know the story? And then I'll tell you an illustration then. And fourthly, you got to follow God's financial plan. If you want to increase, you're going to have to give. I'm sorry, that's what the Bible says. You know what? There ought to be a joy in giving. God loves a cheerful giver. Why? Because God was a cheerful giver. Did you ever read where God cried? Oh, I sent my son, my only son. What am I going to do? God never regretted giving His son as a gift to us. Think about it. He gave the world a gift, and the world didn't even know what to do with it. Light came into darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. They didn't know what to do with the gift, but God gave it anyway. Amen? And then fifthly, you've got to choose to finish His work and fulfill your call. All right? So those are the things that we're going to talk about. How many know the story of Elijah and Elisha? Okay? I'm not going to have you turn there, but let me just tell you the story in a paraphrase. Elijah had reached a point in his life where he was having a major pity party. He had just defeated the prophets of Baal. And everybody was excited. Woo, the prophets of Baal are dead. Yeah. But then he got a letter from Jezebel. And that letter said, I'm going to do to the prophets of Baal that you did. I'm going to do that to you. And Elijah got so scared that he ran. And God fed him with some angel food cake one day. But he ran in the wrong direction, and he was in this cave. And God said, what are you doing here, Elijah? He said, woe is me, I'm the only one in Israel. And God said, excuse me, Elijah, but there are 7,000 in Israel that have not bowed to Baal. He's like, oh, I didn't know that. And in the meantime, you know, God appeared. There was an earthquake, a fire. God wasn't in that, but God was in this still small voice. And in that still small voice, he told Elijah, amongst other things, he said, I want you to go anoint Elisha as prophet in your stead. Did you know that if you choose to have a pity party about what you don't have, you might lose what God wants to give you? It was there that Elijah's ministry ended abruptly. He was going to anoint Elisha as prophet in his stead. And so he came to Elisha. And Elisha was a farmer. He had 12 yoke of oxen. If you had that many oxen in the Bible, you had a pretty good sized farm, all right? That'd be like having a big John Deere tractor today, all right? 12 yoke of oxen. And he was plowing the field, you know? He was moving those oxen, and there came the prophet, Elijah. And as a symbol of a transference of anointing, see, the prophets wore certain clothes, and he took his mantle and he put it on Elisha. There you go. Signifying that the mantle that was on him was now being transferred. The anointing, the power that by which he operated. Do you know what Elisha did when that mantle was placed on him? He took his 12 yoke of oxen, he slew all the yoke of oxen. He took the yoke and he burned it on the fire, and everybody had an ox fest in the town. You know, they were having oxtail at the fair where Elisha lived. They're having a big oxtail party. What does that mean? For Elisha, it meant that his farming days were done, and now he was stepping into a new office of a prophet. When you burn your yoke and you kill your oxen, it's going to be hard to get back into farming. You know, you just destroyed the thing that plows the field. How are you going to plow the field? How are you going to plant your seed? For Elisha, he made a choice. He loved God so much that he chose to leave his life that he knew and to start a new one. And he traveled with Elijah. He carried his briefcase. He opened the doors for him. He ran his book table. And every meeting that Elijah went, you know, Elisha was there serving him, helping him, because he made a choice. Elijah didn't say, I want you to kill. He made that choice within himself. What made him make that choice? It was when that mantle came on him, something happened in Elisha's life that he said, I'm going to dedicate and devote and commit myself to God. Same thing with the disciples. When Jesus walked by, he said, come and follow me. That's all he said. And they dropped their nets right where they were and they began to follow him. They made a choice. So there was Elisha. He traveled wherever Elijah went. You know, he would clean up after him. He would put away the books and all the stuff on the book table. He did all the setup work. And we don't know that Elisha complained. You know why? Because he ended up getting a double portion. And Elijah said, what do you want me to give you? He said, I want a double portion of your anointing. You know, if you're going to get a double portion doesn't come to complainers, whiners, and grumblers. You know? If you're a complainer and a whiner, you're lucky to get crumbs. And so he made a choice to serve Elijah, to go with him wherever he went, to put up with his complaining and everything like that. And he said, okay, you've asked a hard thing, but when you see me leave, you'll get this anointing. So Elisha said, okay. And then so they went to four places, to Gilgal, to Jericho, to the Jordan, and to one other place I can't remember right now. And every time Elisha had to make a choice, Elijah would say, I'm going to go here, but you stay here. He said, nuh-uh, wherever you go. He said, if I see you when I go, I'm not going to stay here. He had four opportunities to stay where he was, and he would have missed the double portion anointing. But he said, no, I'm going to be with you. Because Elijah said, if you see me when I go, then you'll get my anointing. But if you don't see me, how many know that if you want to see him to get the anointing, it's going to involve making choices? I'm sure that Elisha had some better things to do. And so they were at this place. They were at the Jordan. And people were giving Elisha a hard time. They were saying, your master's going to leave you. Your master's going to leave you. And finally, the day came when Elijah was taken up to heaven in the whirlwind, and the mantle fell from the sky. And Elisha grabbed that mantle, and he said, may the God of Elijah be with me. And he smote the waters of the Jordan, and they parted, signifying that he had the anointing. And you know what? He ended up doing twice as many miracles as Elijah, because he had a double portion of his anointing. How'd you like to be Ruth? Who chose to go with her mother-in-law, who changed her name from Naomi to Mara, which means bitter. Oh yes, I'm called to travel with a bitter woman. Let me tell you, the proverb says it'd be better to be on a housetop than in the same room with a nagging woman. And there was Ruth. She said, my God, she was a Moabite. She was a heathen. But she chose. Naomi was going back to Israel, and she said, your God will be my God, your people will be my people. And it didn't matter what the other daughter-in-law did. The other daughter-in-law went back to Moab, but Ruth said, I'm staying with you. She chose to help a bitter woman. Now, I'm sure that every day with Naomi was not pleasant. I'm sure when she had her little fits, you know, None of you have fits, you know. No, we all have fits sometimes, amen? Fits of carnality. But Ruth made a choice. What happened? Because of the choice that she made to stick with Naomi, and a Boaz heard about it. And a Boaz ended up marrying Ruth. Boaz was rich. You talk about choosing the road of blessing. It wasn't an easy road. But because she chose that path, who told her to choose that? She made that choice because of her relationship. She ended up being the great-grandmother of David. It was either the great-grandmother or the great-great-grandmother. I don't know which. But Ruth and Boaz had a son, then they had Jesse, then they had David. She went from being a heathen to being included in the family line of the righteous line of God, where the line that the Messiah would come through, because she chose. Amen? Psalm 119, verse 30. Psalm 119, verse 30. I have chosen the way of truth. I have set my heart on your laws. How many have chosen the way of truth? You know? Oh, when you become a Christian, everything is going to be easy and rosy. They lied. You're going to have trials. You're going to have tests. You're going to have temptations, but thank God that God makes a way out of all of them. Amen? You know, some people who are bound, they choose to be bound instead of free. One choice could set them free of that demonic oppression. They could get set free, but they choose. Did you know that the man from Gadara, when Jesus walked on the shore, he was possessed with legion, but yet he came to Jesus and he ran and worshiped him. How could a possessed man, see, even a possessed man can choose to go after God. He wanted to get free. He didn't want that torment. He didn't want that. He chose to say, I'm going to get free of this thing. And when he saw the word step into his territory, he ran after the word and he worshiped it, and he ended up getting free. He chose. He said, I'm not going to listen to you anymore, devil or devils. He had legion in him. That man was full of demons. Lived in the tombs, would break chains. His hair was all matted. He stunk. Well, he would run around naked. He was uncontrollable until he made a choice to worship the Lord. Amen? Psalm 25:12 out of the Amplified says, who is the man who reverently fears and worships the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he should choose. How many know that God will even teach you what choice to make? He'll teach you how to make the right choice. The Holy Spirit, when you're confronted with a decision, the Holy Spirit will speak to you. He'll say, hey, Mike, let me give you some insight about this. Invest your money here. Get involved in this relationship. Or he'll say, don't get involved in that relationship. And then we have a choice to make. Are we going to take his information and select or take or pick the right way? See, when we understand that we're responsible for our choices, we're not going to be so swift to make choices. Let me think about that. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Amen? All right, let's go to Matthew 16. And let me just take a few minutes and get into number one here about denying your flesh. Matthew chapter 16. Say, I'm glad I'm here today. Sometimes, you know, every message is not going to make you go, woo, hallelujah, yeah. Some messages are going to make you think. Did you know that Hosea told the people they need to consider their ways? Because they were putting themselves first and neglecting God's house. And he said, you need to consider your ways. Sometimes, you know, I've noticed when Jesus preached, he didn't always lay hands on people. But some people responded to the message that they heard. They just went ahead and acted on it, and they received what they needed. He didn't always have an altar call. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't have an altar call. We are going to have an altar call today, because I believe that everything I preach, it involves a decision, a choice. And we're going to give people an opportunity to choose Jesus. Amen? Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man, say any man, does that sound like he's talking to a whosoever? Absolutely. If any man will come after me, notice he didn't say come after religion or come after anything else, but come after him. Amen? Jesus is the rock of our soul. You got to have a personal relationship with Jesus, not an institution. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. You know, if you want to keep your life, that's a choice that you can make. But in the end, you're going to end up losing. Because you've chosen yourself above, you've chosen self-preservation above sacrifice. And he said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. There are times when we have to deny ourselves. That's why fasting is important. You know, because fasting will help you to become more sensitive to the voice of the Spirit. Because any time that you put your natural desires on hold for spiritual things, it always has a harvest. Amen. But it's not always easy to fast, is it? Man, longest I think I went was like 7 days. And it's tough, man. Fiona would be cooking in the kitchen, I'd be fasting. I'd be like, ooh, smells so good. But if you want to try to save your life, that's a choice that you can make. But in the end, you're going to end up losing. You know, Jesus gave us this example. He invested his whole self into us. All right? He came from heaven. In heaven, there was no time. There was no limitation. There was no darkness. There was no weariness. There was no sadness. There was no sickness. He chose to step out of that into an earth suit. He became human. God incarnate, Emmanuel, God with us. The Word become flesh and dwelt among us. And he did that so that he denied himself to act like God so that he could save mankind from their sin. And by the choice that he made, every one of us has been given access to the Father now. We've been justified, just as if you've never sinned. You've been forgiven. You've been redeemed. You've been accepted. You've been called by God. You're called out of darkness. And some of us haven't picked up the phone. You hear the phone ringing, it's God calling, but you choose not to answer. I want to do it my way. Yeah, that's a theme song in hell. I did it my way. Yes, you did. And look where it got you. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to what? Death. There's a way that seems right to, oh, this seems like a good way. Follow this path. Yeah, it's going to lead to death unless God is in it, unless God is leading you. You know what? The Bible says that he is the door of the sheep. And he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I go before them, and they follow me. If you're out ahead of Jesus, who's leading? You ever dance with a partner that one's supposed to lead, and they're not leading, and you try to lead, and you get messed up, you step on each other's toes and all that stuff? You got to let the Lord lead. It's your job to follow his lead. So you got to go before him about every decision, and you got to say, Lord, what about this? What do you think about this? And you've got to, then he'll give you the choice. He'll give you an instruction, and it's up to you to obey that instruction. All right? If you don't, then you're going to suffer the consequences. If you eat the fruit, you're going to die. Okay, devil said, you're not going to die. Here, just take a bite of this beautiful fruit. Looked good, tasted good, but what happened? The moment they ate of that fruit, they were separated from the life of God. They died spiritually. Verse 26. What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works, or you might say according to his choices. Because heaven and earth is witnessing against you. Pretty soon, heaven is going to come to give an account or to take an account of what of the choices that you made. First of all, he's going to say, what'd you do with my son? Secondly, he's going to say, what did you do with what I called you to do? Thirdly, if we haven't done what we're supposed to do, what we had is going to be taken away and given to someone who did what they were supposed to do with theirs. So you're really going to lose if you don't make the right choices now. We have one life to live. One life. And our life is like a vapor. And you're never too old and you're never too young to choose to serve the Lord right now. The longer you delay in giving your all to God, the worse it's going to be for you in the end. It would be a sad thing to get to heaven and not have anything to offer, not have a crown to offer the Lord. Oh yeah, you'll be in heaven. And that's good. Heaven is good. Say, heaven is good. But you know what? It's better to go with something to give. There are several crowns that you can earn. Crown of life, crown of righteousness. There's lots of crowns that we can earn to give to the Lord when we meet him. But we got to choose. We got to choose to deny our flesh. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. If we're so naturally minded, we're never going to receive what God has for us. In other words, the natural side of life will hinder you from walking and having spiritual things. You can't. You know, it's like oil and water. You are a spirit, okay? First of all, you are a spirit. You have a soul. That's your mind, will, and emotions, and you live in a body. And when this body is gone, you're still going to be around. To be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. Isn't that what the Bible says? So, we need to reevaluate our choices. Psalm 119, 173 says, may your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. We're going to look at next week someone who was said that they chose the better part. How do you choose what's better? We're going to find out next week. Amen. But I want you to reevaluate your choices right now. I want you to be honest with yourself, and I want you to be honest with God. And you need to evaluate your choices. Are you choosing to serve the Lord above everything else? Or are there things that are hindering you from choosing God to give your all? I'm talking about all or nothing. I'm talking about giving your life as he gave us his life. I'm talking about not holding any area of your life back, not in your finances, not in your service. Amen? I'm sure that there are some that have extra time that can do things to serve the Lord. But why aren't you doing it? Why aren't you serving the Lord? Because you chose to put something else above that. You chose to put something else before that. Because serving the Lord is not such a top priority in your life. The Lord showed me a while back that so many people, the things of the kingdom of God are an option and not a priority. You can invest your life in all the world's goods, but at the end, what are you going to have? You're going to lose your soul. Or you could put your treasure where your heart is and invest it into the kingdom of God, where moth and rust don't corrupt, and you're going to build up an account so that when you get to heaven, you're going to have an account already opened in your name, and it's already going to be full. Because you've been adding to your account. How do you add to your account? You invest in the things of God. Well, you're in a church. This church has needs. That's a good place to start. You could serve. What can I do? Well, what's your talent? What's your gift? And what's your passion? Maybe I'm sure that there's something that you can do. Amen. But that'll involve extra time. Yeah, it will. But let me tell you, it's worth it. You'll be rewarded. You'll be richly rewarded. God will bless you. He will put his hand upon you. He will give it unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Whatever your it is. He said, give and it. Give and it. What is your it? It shall be measured back unto you. Good, given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Anytime that you choose to obey God, you will be rewarded by him. But we have the right to choose. God will not interfere with our choice. We are managers of our choices. We must manage the choices. How do you manage something? You take all your available resources and you make sure that every resource is allocated to the goal. What is the goal? The goal is winning souls. A good place to start is 50 days of prayer. How many people can pray? Amen. I hope that's everybody. You can find some time to pray. If you can't come at the church at the designated time, then take the sheet and pray at your home. But we need to pray for souls. That was God's number one goal. I came to seek and save that which was lost. And if we're not participating in that, what's first in our life? Every one of us can pray. And as your leader, I'm calling you to come and pray with us. If you have a few minutes, give a few minutes. Amen? But you got to make a choice. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to make choices. Father, we ask you for wisdom right now, in Jesus' name, to make the right choices in life, in your family, in your finances, in your fulfilling your call, in following the Lord. Every day we're faced with choices. Every day we've got to choose. Every day there's opportunities for us to do what's right or to do what's not right. That doesn't mean that God doesn't want you to have any fun. God wants you to have some fun. So Father, today in the name of Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, Lord, I'm calling for people that are going to choose the Lord. They're going to rise up and say, as for me and my house, I will choose the Lord. If that's you today, I want you to stand up and I want you to make a declaration today in the name of Jesus. And maybe there's some here today that you're not born again. You need to choose life. You need to choose to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. You need to choose to get all that God wants you to have. Come and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen? God wants to fill you. He doesn't want you to be without power. He doesn't want you to try to do it on your own strength. And maybe you need to be restored to the Father, like the prodigal son. He went his own way, but he needed to come back to the Father. So those of you that are standing, I want you to say this with me. Say, today, Lord, I make a declaration and a commitment that I choose to serve you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. I choose to serve you in finances. I choose to serve you in my family. I choose to serve you to follow you. I choose to deny my flesh, and I will make the things of God a priority, an important priority in my life, and I will not neglect that. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, and if you need healing in your body, choose to be healed. Jesus is a healer. But you know what? He never turned away someone that came after him. Anybody that came to Jesus for healing never left sick. But see, they had to choose to come. The woman with the issue of blood, I'm sure it wasn't easy making her way through that crowd, but she chose. Maybe you need healing in your body. Healing is here today. Amen? Maybe you need something from the Lord today. Some of you just need to wake up. Wake up and smell the coffee, Hebrews. Amen? Smell the coffee, Hebrews. And some of you need to choose to change because the path that you're on is a path of destruction. You know, if you were heading down a road and the bridge was out and you kept ignoring those signs, what's going to happen eventually? You're going to crash. You know, there were some in Paul's day. He talked about their faith being shipwreck. Don't have shipwrecked faith. Don't let the enemy shipwreck your faith. But let the Word and the Spirit keep it afloat. Amen? Some of you need to choose to go after the things of God. Some of you need to choose to fellowship more. Did you know that fellowship is important? Some of you need to choose to witness more. That's what Jesus came to do. We all should be witnesses. You just need to find what way that you can witness the best. But it's your choice. God gives you, He sets before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. He said, but I would that you choose life. So you've got to choose. How do you know you made the right choice? Because your actions will follow. When you chose to follow the Lord, people who chose to follow the Lord didn't, you know, what you doing? Oh, I'm following the Lord. Yeah, well, He's way up there. Where are you? Oh, I'll get up there, Lord. I'm following you. Yeah, you're following from a distance. I don't know about you, but God is into intimacy. He likes things close. You know, he likes things in close proximity. That way He doesn't have to speak so loud. Because the closer you are, the softer you can talk. And you don't have to have that big, booming voice. Because that you're supposed to be intimate with the Lord. Amen? We need to let Him into every area of our life. At the breakfast table, at the lunch table, when you're hanging out with your friends, when you're driving in your car, when you're going to Walmart. You know that each one of us are vessels of God. Or wherever you shop, going in the grocery store. Amen? If you want a greater blessing, then you need to choose to make a greater sacrifice. Do an evaluation of your life, okay? Make a list. These are the things that I'm doing. These are the things that I'd like to do. You know, you need to ask the Lord, help me to be able to do these things. He will, amen? Listen, God will reward you. When you choose Him, He'll be right there with you. He's not going to let you down. He's faithful. He's a good God. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. But too many times He's waiting on us to make the right choice. You know, the Bible never said, he says before us life and death. He never gives us a time frame of when to choose that. But you know, some people wait too late. If you wait too late to make your choice, you're going to miss out on the benefits, the good things that God has for you. Don't let that happen. Amen? So I need some people to choose to participate with these 50 days of prayer. You can't make it every day. You know, listen, I'm flexible. If you know that about me, I'm pretty laid back and easygoing. But I think this is important to the Lord. Souls of the kingdom are important. And unless we pray and break the strongholds over this region, we're not going to get anywhere. I mean, we could go out and we could go knock on doors, but I believe the Lord wants to make some divine connections. He's got a key to this region that we need to get a hold of and open the lock. Like the woman at Samaria, she was the key to that city. And through prayer, I'm asking for 50 days. Amen? You can do it, because we'll end before the holidays. And on October 11th, which is the last Sunday, we're going to have a celebration service here to celebrate the 50 days. And we might just have a Holy Ghost meeting that day, and let's see the fire of God just come, and after we pray, we're going to see results. I'm telling you. But choose you this day whom you're going to serve. As for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. You make it a point to serve the Lord too. Doesn't matter if your husband's on board. Doesn't matter if your wife's on board. Don't take a poll. You know, I just don't feel like serving. The wind of the Spirit is just not moving for me to serve today. Yeah, well, it's gotten some kind of wind, but it's not the wind of the Holy Ghost. You know, study the lives of the apostles that followed Jesus. Father, we just give you thanks and praise for this time. I thank you for doing a mighty work. Lord, fill us with the knowledge of your will, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a good day. Don't forget, your tithes and your offerings can go in that container in the back, and we appreciate your giving, and you'll be blessed for that. In Jesus' name, amen.